Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be back here in New Zealand. I got here, my wife and I, you'll get to see her this time around. A lot of people, amen. A lot of people used to wonder if I was really married or was just making up stories. So I brought the evidence this time around. Which is a real blessing. So she's in there with the ladies, just being a blessing to them, and just fellowshipping with the other ladies in the ministry, in the meetings there. So we got here last week on Saturday, flew in. It was pretty bad weather when we flew into Napier. Really just raining and dark and miserable. And the Lord just turned it upside down after the next day. It was a really beautiful day. But I think that the enemy just didn't want me to get here because they canceled a whole lot of flights when we were in Auckland. And one flight after the other, canceled. And we started praying because that was going to be one of the last flights to Napier that day. And we wanted to get here so we could do the meetings that we were meant to do Sunday morning, the very next day. So the Lord just opened the door and we managed to come through and go to Napier. And we started out the meeting Sunday morning. I had a fantastic time in Pastor Fetu's church, Turning Point. And then that Saturday, Sunday night, we had another awesome meeting at the same church. And the Lord, there's a lot of pastors that came and a lot of leaders that I came to that. It was a real blessing. Monday we went to Wairoa, I think that's how you say it, and we saw 18 salvations. Preached a message and made an altar call, and 18 of them came, and I could tell they were gang members, some of them. As one guy, I wasn't sure if he was an African or Maori, because he had so much tattoo on his face. He was dark. I mean, he is scary looking. And he came forward and gave his heart to the Lord. And I think there was one guy with the Black Powers. I don't know, they call him the Black Power gang. I don't know much about New Zealand gangs. We've got Kevin Madford working in Australia. He was just talking to me a couple of days back saying, make sure you go out there and win those people to the Lord. Go and get the mangrove mob and all those guys saved. Because we worked with him for about 2 weeks up in Toowoomba, and he travels and we sponsor and support him, and he's ministering here, he and his wife, as they travel throughout Australia. So we saw people get saved, and saw some awesome healings take place as well on Monday. And on Tuesday, we went to, did a youth event at Turning Point Church. On Wednesday, we went to Hastings Flaxmere Church, and I think there must have been another maybe 15, 16 saved. About 18, he said, they came forward to give their hearts to the Lord, and which was a real, real blessing. And we saw some phenomenal miracles. Eyesight being healed, and we had people with hearing problems being healed. And there was one particular lady that just really encouraged me, because she came forward and she looked like she was pregnant, and she had an intestinal virus, and they'd operated on her about 6-7 times, and the stomach was just bloated about that big, and she was in a lot of pain and scar tissue and all that sort of thing. And we prayed for her, and she went under the power of the Holy Spirit. And when she came up, it's like she just deflated. Her stomach went back to normal. And I saw that. I was shocked, because I hear about miracles. You know, we see miracles every day whenever we preach and minister around the world. But, you know, I never get used to it. I remember Linda was standing right there beside me, and she was shaking her head, saying, what happened to her stomach? Your stomach disappeared. and the pastors and some of the other people that saw that happen were just shocked. And I think the pastor's wife of that church went and just hugged them. They started crying because probably they knew each other from somewhere. And we saw just that some tremendous things happening. The Lord moving supernaturally in his power and just touching and healing people. So I praise God for that 36 odd souls saved since Monday. And to God be the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So that brings it about 680 or 90 saved this year, and a big chunk of that was in the Philippines. About a month ago, we had 600 saved, about 3,000 turned up for the meetings up there over 4 days, and it was amazing to see what the Lord's doing. And so I'm just believing God, you know, we've be just been coming down to Dunedin and doing some work through Dunedin with John and the team down there. And a couple of years back, I was up in the North Island doing a tour through. And one of the things that I really felt strongly in my spirit was that God was really getting ready to do something in New Zealand. It just felt like New Zealand was on the verge of something really, really supernatural. And I remember the very first time I ever spoke in a convention in New Zealand. I just flown in about 5 years ago. I think it was in Wellington at the hotel there. And we just flew in from Malaysia. We'd been doing some meetings in Malaysia about that time, and actually I remember flying into we went to this town called Penang, and the Heavenly Man, Brother Yoon, had been preaching there in Penang about a week or 2 weeks before we got there. How many of you know Heavenly Man, Brother Yoon? Powerful man of God. And so the same guy that was hosting us had hosted him. And this man just does not hold any punches. He just preaches it. And so he'd gotten there and preached and got all these Muslim people saved in Malaysia. You're not allowed to lead the Muslims to the Lord. And so the two pastors that put the meeting together have been arrested by the police, and they were being interrogated. Just the day before, day after they got arrested, then we show up in the town to do this bunch of meetings, staying with the same guy that Brother Yoon was staying with. And he's really good at getting people saved and getting out of town. So he got all these people. He's better than Houdini when it comes to escape. If you've read his book, you know what I mean. And he got all these people saved and left out, and the pastors had to got arrested. But thank God for Edmund Chan. Edmund Chan, we were staying with him in his house. This guy's a multi-millionaire. He owns a mansion and bought the next mansion next door, knocked the wall between them and built an extension. And he said, this is a missionary house, you know, just to look after missionaries. There's other pastors who are staying there from India who are doing meetings in other towns, and he's just hosting them and loves the Lord mightily. And so he had a lot of influence in the town and was able to talk to the police and remind the police that he's the one that actually built their police station donated all those flat screen TVs to let the pastors go. And fortunately, they let them go, which was a real blessing. And so he said to us, you know, you can't preach here. I know we've invited you to do a weeks-long meeting here with the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship and with some of the churches here. But things are a little bit thick right now, so we're going to have to send you to Ipoh and to a town called Alostar. Ipoh is up north near the border with Thailand. And so we said, I want you to go there and we're organizing quickly a two-day meeting in Ipoh, and then we're going to preach there for 2 days and then leave town and go to Alostar and preach there for 2 days, and then I'll let you know if things kind of subsided, and then you can come back to Penang and do some meetings. And so we went to Ipoh and did some Full Gospel Businessmen's dinner there and testimony night, and won some people to the Lord and for two nights, and then went to Alostar and then won a few people more people to the Lord, and he rang us up up and he said, you know, it's clear right now, but we're going to have the meeting in my high rise and about the sixth or the seventh floor. And I'm going to have to put some security guards at the door to keep the secret police out, because they usually come to these meetings to see if there's any Muslims converting to Christ so that they can deal with whoever is responsible for that. So he's a really, really rich guy. At the time, I remember he took us to pray for his project. He was building, I think it was 950 units and apartments at that time. There was in a builder. He's a builder, well off. And so he owned this. He's like the Donald Trump of Penang. And he owned this big high rise. And so on the sixth floor, he cleaned it up and invited people to come. And they all had to go by elevator to the sixth floor. And we had the meeting there for 2 days. And there was these guys at the door to make sure, you know, they can usually tell who's infiltrating the meeting and who's not. So we got up there and we did this meeting for 2 days, which was a real blessing. And we saw people who are low. They've got a feeding program looking after the young people. And we saw them coming in, giving their hearts to the Lord. We got on the plane and flew to Kota Kinabalu at that time. And I remember about 5 years ago, as we were flying in, actually Bill Sobrisky was just finishing a meeting there on that particular day. We were gonna actually seeing if we could meet him, but it was a thing. The day right after we showed up, he just finished the day before, and the people in the town said Bill had been there in Kota Kinabalu doing some meeting in a church there, and it was such a real blessing. And we did a couple of meetings there and went to Miri and flew to Miri, which is near Brunei, and a very, very tough place spiritually, but we saw the Lord move there, that was at the Asian convention, and then from there flew to New Zealand. As soon as I landed in New Zealand 5 years ago, something wonderful began to happen, not just in the land of New Zealand that I started seeing God doing, but something began to happen, something special began to happen in my life. Some of you may remember that meeting 5 years ago. People are out under the power of the Holy Spirit in the elevators, down the corridors, and I remember going to the shops and the restaurant, of the hotel, trying to order food, and we could not order any food. Michael Lavingood was the other speaker there, and we were just under the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember one young lady coming, trying to order take our orders, and she would just begin to laugh in the spirit, and she did not know why she was. And we were laughing, she was laughing, and her boss was looking at her. I could remember the boss looking at her and thinking, what's wrong with this girl not taking the orders like she's meant to? And he came and called her and took the little notepad and came to us and said, what are you gentlemen going to be having? And I was trying to look at the menu and tell him something coherently, and the power of God just started to fall on him, and he started laughing, and he did not know why he was laughing. The glory of God was just falling on him, the joy of the Lord, because I know whenever the joy comes, it's always an indication of the presence of God, because the Bible says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And so whenever we get to a place whereby you see people, even who are not Christian, beginning to experience the joy of the Lord, it's not us going up to heaven, to the throne room of God, to be with him. He's already come down to be with us. And that is why there's no discrimination. There's no believers feeling it and the unbelievers not knowing what's going on. Everybody's feeling it because God's in the house. And so that was something that began to happen. And I remember when that took place and the glory of God just really wrecked that meeting powerfully. People are just filled with the joy of the Lord and the presence of God. I remember we finished the convention and I got on the flight back to Australia and I was just sitting under the power of God the whole time on the flight back to Brisbane. And the glory of God was just on me, and we landed in Brisbane, and I remember that particular day I got picked up up by a friend of mine, because Toowoomba is 2 hours away from Brisbane, and I didn't want to tell him anything that had happened in New Zealand. So I just got in the car and we started driving, and I was just under the power of the Holy Ghost the whole time, and just was laying back. And so he said to me, "What happened in New Zealand? How was the meetings?" And I started to mention just a little bit briefly what was going on, and he started laughing. He started, the joy of the Lord just came upon him, and he started laughing in the spirit. And he was laughing so much that he had to slow down and started driving about 70 in 100 zone to just keep himself on the road. And the glory of God just came into the building. The presence of God just came in the building. And he said to me, "There's a pastor from the Philippines, would like to visit him, would like to meet you before we go get you home. Do you mind if we just stop by and see them for a few minutes and then drive you home?" And I said, "That's fine." And so we were driving, and he did not know. He laughed for about an hour in the glory of God. And we got to this house, and we packed the car, and we sat in the car because we didn't want our PA to be crazy. And we sat in the car for about 15 minutes trying to get out of it. And after we felt we were sufficiently all right, we stepped out of the car, and we went into this building, this house, and he had a nice meal already prepared. And I walked in there and I sat down. And when I sat down, his wife just started laughing. She was in the kitchen. She just started laughing in the spirit of God, the glory of God. And then I realized something significant is beginning to happen. And because the Bible says that we need to pray that your kingdom come. Amen. That your kingdom come, that your will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. And somebody said to me, "Why do we have to be like this? Why do we have to have joy?" Because you see, believers are not meant to live in the arena of happiness. We are meant to live in the arena of joy, because happiness and joy are different. Happiness has to do with happenings. That is why whenever good things happen, we are happy. And when bad things happen, we are sad. But those who are operating in the realm of joy, it has nothing to do with happenings. It has everything to do with being in the presence of God, because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. So you find that when good things are happening, they're joyful. When bad things are happening, they're joyful. Doesn't matter what's going on, they're still in the joy of the Lord, because they're not living in happiness, they're living in the joy of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So God wants us to graduate from just living in happiness to living in the joy of the Lord, because that is where God wants us to be. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The reason why a lot of us, we are becoming weak and weary and worn out, and we want to give up and we want to throw in the towel and quit, is because we're living in the realm of happiness. We're living in a realm whereby our joy or happiness is based on what's happening. And so God wants us to graduate and to start to live from the presence of God. The Bible says we are seated with him, amen, in heavenly places. We are bilocational. That means that we are here, but we are also there. We may be walking around here, but we are also there with him. We are seated with him in heavenly places, far above all principality, powers, and rulers of darkness of this world. And so that is our location, amen. We may be here, but that's where we are. And so if we are living there and we learn to see things from that point of view, then we see that everything is full of the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. When you are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus, it changes your perspective. It changes your perspective. We can become extremely negative whenever we look at things from this perspective of this earth. Because when you look at this earth right now, you see a lot of evil and a lot of horrible things happening. And indeed, the Bible says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. But when we learn to live from his perspective and we see his things from his perspective, then we are able to say the same things that the Lord says, that the whole world is covered in his glory, is covered with the glory of the Lord. So I believe that the difference between that is just perspective. And so I decided I'm not going to live from down here. I'm going to live from up there. And that is where we have authority over principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this world. And those things are under our feet, because there's nothing higher than his throne. Amen. If we can be seated with him, nothing goes beyond his throne. Everything else is under your feet. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. So our ability to continue with strength every day, our ability to continue with power and without having to suffer from just a weariness in our spirit and feeling like we want to give up is determined by our continuation in sitting in the throne room of God with Christ. We have to be seated with him constantly. Amen. And so I decided that this is where I'm going to live. This is where I'm going to stay. I'm going to be seated right there. And one of the keys or one of the characteristics of knowing that you're seated and connected there is that the joy of the Lord is yours. You begin to experience the joy of the Lord in your life. I remember soon after that happened, I was in the house and took a few days to rest because of traveling, and I've been in all over Asia coming to New Zealand, and then I was back home, and so I took a week to rest. And I remember during that time just walking around, that the joy of the Lord was in my heart, you know, the presence of God. I was just so happy, so excited about everything that God was doing. And I remember, you know, I was in the bedroom, and my phone was charging in the other room, and the phone rang. And when the phone rang, I remember running out of my room because my phone, it has a few rings before it goes into the answering machine. So I was running to try and get to my phone before it goes into the answering machine. And I remember my toes hit the corner of the furniture, you know. Before that, you know, all sorts of things, you know, you scream all sorts of things and you get angry and upset. But I remember my heart, my foot was in so much pain. It felt like somebody had just stabbed my feet. And I sat down. I was in so much pain. Oh, and I just started laughing. I was in pain, great deal of pain. But, you know, I realized that even when the pain was there, what came out of me was joy. Amen. What came out of me was joy, because whenever you go through some pressure, then you will know what you're made of or what's on the inside of you. And so I remember sitting there, and I was laughing, and I fell asleep. I just fell asleep. And I woke up a little bit later, and I was like, oh, fell asleep on the floor. And I realized this is why Jesus could sleep in the storm. You know, all these disciples were running around, we're going to die, somebody save us, trying, you know, taking buckets and trying to clean up, you know, to get water out of the boat because they were going to die. And Jesus was at the bottom of the boat sleeping. And then I can see some of us, that's how we act when our businesses are not doing too well. And we're running around with buckets trying to keep the business afloat and trying to make ends meet and keep the employees happy and keep the creditors happy, keep the banks happy, keep the suppliers happy, the customers happy. We're running around and we're saying, Jesus, don't you care that we are perishing? And he's just lying there with in the peace of God, the shalom of God on him, and just resting in the midst of a storm. And so I realized that this is where I made a decision. I said that this is where I'm going to live my life. I don't have time to waste with being depressed and sad and being angry and upset all the time. Life is too short. Amen. Hallelujah. Life is too short. And so you need to learn to live your life in a place of joy. And so I realized, you know, with Jesus, you know, like with Jesus, he got up, and when he got up and he saw his disciples running around, he said, peace be still. And there was peace. Everything calmed down because he released on the outside what he had on the inside. Your environment can be transformed by what you carry on the inside. And so if you have turmoil inside of you, then you can never bring peace to the turmoil that is outside around you. So you must make sure that you cannot control what's happening around you, but you have a choice in what's happening inside of you. And what you choose to let happen inside of you will ultimately influence your environment and the atmosphere around you. So Jesus was able to release the shalom of God, the peace of God, and said, peace be still. And everything was quiet because he was the Prince of Peace. And not only did he have peace, but he was the Prince of Peace. So I decided that if I'm going to change my atmosphere and my surrounding, then I have to allow God to come on the inside of me, and I must allow myself to have the joy of the Lord on the inside of me. And I realize that sometimes when you're joyful at all times, some people are not happy with you. And you know, they're going to get upset with you. They'll think something wrong with you, because why are you happy when things are not going well? Why are you so excited when things are not working out the way they should be working out? And now you remember saying to them, I tried depression and I didn't like it. Amen. I tried being depressed. It didn't do anything for me. I tried getting upset. It didn't do anything for me. So now I choose to live in the joy of the Lord. I choose to live in that place. I met somebody else that said to me, you know, you got to be balanced. You got to be balanced. If balance is somewhere between joy and depression, I don't want it. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to live in the realm of joy. Hallelujah. And stay in that place. And I don't want to be balanced and be tossed to and fro with every wind or thing that happens in my life. And so I said, God, I choose this day to live in a place whereby I'll be strong every single day. I think the reason why people are quitting and giving up and resigning from churches and pastors are getting worn out is because we are no longer living we're no longer seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That revelation has escaped us. And so because of that, we are no longer covered with the presence of God. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall renew their strength. And so whenever you're in his presence, you will always be strong. You will run and you will not become weary. You shall walk and will not faint. You shall mount up with wings like eagles. And so I've made up my mind, and I decided I will not allow anything ever again in my life to steal the joy of the Lord that is in my heart. During that time, we came to a place whereby I began to now preach to Australia and speak to the nation of Australia. And I said to them that something has changed in the environment, in the spiritual realm. I said to them, there's been a shift that has taken place, and we need to get ready for what God is getting ready to do. And so about last year at our church, our pastor church, and I'll be probably Saturday night, I'll be sharing a little bit, if the Lord permits me, some of the things that the Lord's been doing up in Australia, and just in testimony and the goodness of God. But about last year, we decided, our church been pastoring now for about 2 years, a little bit over 2 years, and went from 20-odd people to, we're running about 300, 350 right now in Toowoomba. We've outgrown our facility. We're praying and believing God for finances to be able to purchase something else that is bigger, probably that can handle us and feed us, be able to feed us, because we're doing 3 services in a weekend just to cover the people, be able to handle the crowds that are coming. And so I remember saying to the Lord, last year I said, God, I need to really wait on you for revival, because revival or the presence of God even takes away labor out of ministry. It takes away labor out of ministry. I believe that in the ministry, we've been redeemed from having to sweat. Amen. We've been redeemed from having to sweat. And I believe in hard work. I believe we need to work, but I don't believe that we need to sweat and toil and labor for doing things. And the reason I don't believe that is because in Genesis, one of the curses that was put on man when he sinned was that the sweat of your brow shall you make your living. That was a curse that was given in the Garden of Eden. But then there was another garden later on called the Gethsemane, whereby the Bible says that those blood that Jesus, when he was in Gethsemane, the Bible says that there was his sweat was like the tons of blood that was coming down his face. And I believe the curse that was put on us to labor and work and toil and see nothing coming out of our labor that was in Genesis was broken when Jesus sweat down like blood, droplets of blood. So we've been redeemed from toiling and laboring. Yes, we work hard, but we shall see fruit for our labor. Amen. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. Because God wants you to, everything you do, every seed you sow, that you will see a reward and a recompense for everything that you do. So I realized and I said, God, there's got to be something. You know, I'm seeing us, you know, I'm seeing pastors in the city that I live in Toowoomba, which is 2 hours north of Brisbane, inland, west of Brisbane rather. And I saw a lot of people just toiling and toiling and toiling and struggling all night long, struggling. And I said, said, Lord, there's got to be a change. And about 2 years ago, I went to Perth and at a conference there, and Yongi Cho, Pastor Yongi Cho was there. First time I've ever met him, I've ever seen him, I've ever been to any of his meetings. How many of you know David Cho, pastor of the Yoido Full Gospel, largest church in the world? Thank you. It's nice and warm here. Summer. Praise the Lord. So I went to this conference, and Yoido and Pastor David Cho was there, and it was such an awesome opportunity to be able to meet him and talk to him and hear him share the story about how God ended up giving him a church of, I think it was 1.2 million at one time, and they've tried to scale it down. It's about 700,000 now. Like, that's a small church now, praise the Lord. It's bigger than the whole town of Toowoomba. It's only 160,000 in Toowoomba. And he has 700,000 in his church. So, you know, my goodness. So I'm sitting there and I'm listening to him sharing the testimony. And he told the story about how God began to give him the church that to get him to the place where he's at. And so he shared told us a story that really blessed me. He said to us that years ago he used to be praying, because he had only maybe about 100, 200 members in his church, and he was praying at this tent that he had for a church and asking the Lord, because of many years of serving God and preaching and ministering and not seeing much progress coming by way of all his labor. He said, God, I want to see God move. I want to see you moving, and I want to see people getting saved, and I want to see the numbers coming into the kingdom of God and getting discipled and getting sent out. And he said that one day he went to his church just at a time when everybody wasn't, and there was nobody there. And he went to the back seat of the church and he began to pray and really began to intercede and wait on the Lord about this. And he said he prayed for quite a few hours, and then he lay down on one of the benches in his church and he fell asleep. And while he was asleep, the Lord came to him in a vision. And the Lord said to him, David, let me ask you a question. When the children of Israel tried to catch the quail, how many quail could they catch? And he answered the Lord, because he said when the Lord asked him this, he saw a vision in front of him. He saw the children of Israel in the wilderness, and he saw them trying to catch the quail, and the quail were right flying up in the air far away. And he said, Lord, they can't catch any quail. Because of what I'm seeing, I'm not seeing them catching any quail. And then the Lord said, watch what happens. And then he said, he saw the Lord send a wind. And this wind came and it started to blow on the quail. And the quail were blown by this wind that they were down on the ground, that they could not fly beyond a certain level. They were all just, the wind was just blowing on them, probably from heaven to earth. Because mostly the wind blows from left to right. But this must have been a divine wind from God, because he was blowing from up to down, which talks about, you know, the ability to be able to win people to the Lord, and for the ability for us to be able to win the lost and bring them into the kingdom of God. It can never be between anything that comes from west to east. Amen. It can only be something that comes from north to south, from up to, from God to us. That's why the Bible says promotion doesn't come from where? East or west, but it comes from God. It comes from God. And so he said he saw this wind blowing. It was very peculiar, because the wind was blowing from heaven and it was blowing the quail on the ground. And the children of Israel, all they did was they went and they were picking up the quail, picking them up, as many as they needed. And they picked up so many quail. And so Lord said to him, how many quail did they pick when my wind blew the quail on the ground? And he said, Lord, they picked as many as they could. And immediately a revelation came to him that it is not by might, it is not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That for you to be able to build a kind of work that is going to influence and impact the planet, is going to be by the spirit of God and not by anything else. It was at that time that he began to say, God, I will rest from my works and I will will wait upon you to send this wind to begin to bring in the people and do what you need to do. And immediately from that night, the Lord began to blow in into his church, and the Lord started to cause people to come, and down the road ended up with 1.2 million people in his church, 50,000. I think he's got about 50,000 pastors, 200,000 deacons and elders in his church, and they all just, and he said, I have to spend time with the Lord every day because to keep the devil off of them. Amen. Because it says that, you know, you talk about, we've got problems with one or two deacons in our church. You talk about 200,000, and they all have their own ideas of how things should be run. Dear Lord. And so he... And so he said, I spent 3 hours every morning to keep the devil off of my deacons and pastors. And he said, the Lord's been doing marvelously and moving and doing this. And so I got a revelation when he shared that. I realized that if we're going to see a change even in the nation of Australia, it's not going to be by might, nor by power, nor by my spirit, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's only going to be by God's ability and by God's divine outpouring of his spirit. And so I say to the Lord, Lord, I need you to lead me and give me some wisdom and some understanding of how we can do this. And I realize that a lot of us, you know, the best thing, let me just say this, the best thing that can ever happen to any city, to any nation, is revival, because revival takes the labor out of ministry. It takes all the toil out of ministry. Revival is like the disciples all night long trying to catch fish and catching nothing, and in the morning Jesus shows up at the beach and says, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and he say, and you just have to obey, say, Lord, according to your word, we shall do it. And they cast the net out of the ship. They've been casting the net all night long, caught nothing. But this time, the fish are fighting to jump in the net. That, to me, is what revival is. Amen. That's what revival is. And so I said, God, I am tired of toiling all night. I don't know about you, but that's just where I was at. You know, for years and years, we've been serving and preaching and ministering. And it felt to me like I was like the disciples, toiling all night long, not really seeing much of results. And I said, Lord, truly, there's got to be a mighty move of the Spirit of God, that just like you could send the quail down and the children of Israel could pick them up, I know you can cause the fish to come looking for the net. Because a lot of the times it's the fishermen that are going to look for fish, and it's the boats that are going out there looking for the fishing grounds. But the Lord said to me, whenever revival comes, the people will come looking for you. They will look for you, and they'll get to a place whereby you will begin to ring other pastors and other churches and other organizations saying, we cannot handle the groups that are coming in. We cannot handle the numbers that are coming in. Could you help us out and take a few people off of us? Because we cannot handle it. This is the problem that comes with revival. It forces people to network. Do you know, the Bible says the disciples, they call for other fishermen to come and help them to work the net. And that's why we get networking, working the net. Amen. And so God will force people to network and work with. You'll find the Catholics working with the Baptists, working with the Lutherans, working with the Presbyterians. And instead of this competitive spirit where we're always competing, always insecure with one another, always trying to protect our little groups and keep everybody else out, that is indicative of people living in a season when revival has not broken out. Because when revival breaks out, I'll be calling down the pastor down the road and say, I cannot take any more. Could you help us out and take a few of these folk and you know, do your service there and just help us out. Come and let's network to bring in the harvest, because one person can't do it. One movement can't do it. The one church cannot do it. And this is where I believe New Zealand is just on the brink of getting to. Amen. Hallelujah. Revival. Hallelujah. And I'm seeing people, you know, even churches working with full gospel businessmen's fellowship, and where in the past where churches have probably been a little bit insecure with full gospel businessmen's fellowship, that will go out the door, because we're going to begin to see each other as people that we can work together to bring in the harvest into the kingdom of God. Why? Because one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000. Amen. And so there's a multiplying factor every time people come together and connect. And they said, we're going to do this thing together. And so I said, I'm going to put this to the trial. I'm going to try this in Toowoomba. And so I said to our church, I said, church, this is last year. I said to them, we're going to go on a 40-day fast. And we're going to pray and spend some time with the Lord. And we're going to seek the face of God. And we're going to pray for our city that we can see God move in our city. We're going to pray for Toowoomba that the Lord will move in Toowoomba. And we're going to see people getting saved and their lives and people turning to the Lord. So we began to pray. We started fasting. And I remember during that time, it was not easy. It was not easy. Amen. But the Bible says that if we fast and we don't pray, if you fast and you don't pray, that is not a fast. That's a hunger strike. Amen. And so a lot of us, we fast, but we don't pray. We don't pray. The reason why we fast is so that we can have time to pray. You know, that time, lunchtime, you'd have been having your meal and spending time with people. Take that time to go and pray. And so Jesus said, couldn't you wait with me 1 hour? So I said to our church, we're doing a 40-day fast, and if we need to get together and have a meeting and pray for 1 hour every day. So we started on a Tuesday, and I said to them, every day we're going to have a 1 hour service from 7 to 8 o'clock, and we're going to pray for 40 days every single day. We have a service here for 40 days straight, protracted meeting of waiting on God. So the first 7 days we got together and we started praying and we started seeking the face of the Lord. And that week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we were meeting 1 hour. We started praying and waiting on God. And then on Sunday, something began to happen. Something supernatural happened. We had our morning service. And then in the night service that we had, we were worshiping the Lord and we were having a good time in the presence of the Lord, and we're just waiting on God. And all of a sudden, I remember during that time, as we were worshiping, my worship director was just transitioning the service from worship to announcements, and then, you know, preach the word, and then, you know, do the offering, and then close the service. And so he was transitioning the meeting, and as he was singing the last song, and then he motioned to me to come and take the mic and move the meeting to the next place. So I came and took the mic, and the worship kind of died down, and people started to sit down. And when that happened, when people began to sit down, my eyes were open supernaturally. At that time, my eyes were open, and I remember I looked, and along the side of our building, along the wall, I saw angels standing there, and they were standing in white garments, and they were holding like towels or something that they were carrying, and they were dancing and twirling around, and they were singing and worshiping God, and they were singing a song. They were singing, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my... They were singing this song. They were worshiping God. And then I realized that we are not in sync with heaven. We have stopped worshiping. We've stopped praying. And we have sat down to transition the service to the next thing. And heaven is still worshiping. And so my wife was sitting there. And I gave her the mic. I said, darling, come up here. I gave her the mic. And I said, sing this song. Because I heard the angel singing this song. And she started singing this song. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. And now she started singing this. The atmosphere changed. And people began to weep in the church. And people began to come off the seats and come and prostrate before the Lord on the altar. And they were singing the songs, and we were bowing down. And you're all together worthy, all together lovely. And we were singing, worshiping. And there was something that began to happen when we came in sync with heaven. And when we were, because Jesus said, I do what I see my Father do. You see, this is the problem with God. We're doing our own thing most of the time. We're not doing what he's doing. Jesus spent most of his time praying to try and to see what God was doing, what's happening in heaven. And he said, I do what I see my Father do so that I can be in sync with heaven at all times. And so we began to realize we're out of sync with heaven. And so we were doing our own thing. God was doing his own thing, and we were not in the same program. So we began to worship. And 1.5 hours later, we were still worshiping. And suddenly, people started, just the power of God just came upon the building. There was one particular lady, she's The most prim and proper lady you have ever seen. Just very English, very English, very proper. She just started screaming and shouting, hallelujah. She got up, started dancing, and she puffed gorgeous. And she's been with us for 2 years. I have never seen her behave like that. Never, never. Matter of fact, she was usually used to criticize those that did, She just absolutely, and then she's screaming and shouting, and she fell down, and she's got one of those. I mean, her husband is a very wealthy man. They live in a $2.7 million home with an Olympic-sized swimming pool in the house, not outside. I've been in their house. You got to drive up to go and pray for her when she was sick. I was shocked, but she's as humble as anything else, and she was sitting there, and she was very proper. She doesn't get carried. She was on the floor. There are people who were never, I'm talking about doctors. There was one guy, he's a sergeant of police. He's a police sergeant over Toowoomba, Sergeant Ian Douglas, sitting at the back there. You should have seen him run and do a somersault and fall out under the power of the Holy Spirit. Most dignified people lost their dignity. They were under the power of the Holy Ghost. I had no idea what was going on. I was lying there under the power of God and the presence of God, and I was shaking, literally shaking. And then four people came up, one after the other. The first lady came up, who's a skeptic, even with anything to do with God. And it's so wonderful because the Lord was touching the skeptics. You know, there's the usual ones that always get the spirit, you know. They're like Mike Bunt, you know, they're just suck it in, if God's pouring it just a little bit, they just suck it in. But that those guys who are just like, they're like, I'm hallelujah, frozen chosen, amen. Just the same yesterday, today, forever. Don't never change. Do the same. And they were just, these people were coming up and they were saying to me, we've just seen a vision. Now, four people who were sitting in different parts of the church said, as soon as we started to worship God, the altar area, the wall just disappeared, and there was like steps that went like this into the clouds, into the glory. And he said, we saw angels lined up on the side, and Jesus was walking down the steps, coming, and he walked into the church and he started laying hands on people. In that service, out of all the meetings I've ever been in all my life, 100% of every sick person got healed. 100% of them. Hallelujah. A good percentage of them went home that day. Nobody laid hands on them. Nobody did anything. A good percentage of them went home and they could not wear glasses anymore because their eyesight was fixed. They were not, everything was fuzzy when they got home, and they took off their glasses and they had 20/20 vision. God had done a miracle. There's one lady that didn't have a tooth and had some rotten tooth in her mouth. God gave her new teeth. I don't understand. I can't even fathom how that happened, but God somehow put teeth in there. I've never, miracles. I've never even heard of these things in Africa. God was doing this. There was one young girl in the meeting. She has got a curvature of the spine. This girl, I've been praying for her for about a year and a half. I've never been able to get her healed. She was sitting there in the glory of God, and her spine just went, just straightened up, and she was totally healed by the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. The service went right up to 3 in the morning on Monday morning. People are out under the power of the Holy Spirit. We could not get off the ground. People are out under the power of the Spirit of God. And so this guy, remember one guy's name is Michael. Michael's a truck driver, drives trucks from Toowoomba down to Melbourne, all the way down there. He rang me up and he said to me, I don't know what you've done to me. I'm having to pull over every 5 seconds because the power of God is on me. And this is 2 days. I was under the power of God for 2 days. And then what began to happen in the church began to happen outside the church. Our church is in a shopping center. We've taken half of the shopping center, kind of like the primary Baptist church, kind of like shopping center like that, but there's a butchery and bakery and everything else on the other side. So we've got we've taken one entire section of it, and people were walking past. I remember I was sitting in my office and somebody's walking past the door of the church, and immediately she just started just manifesting, just walking past the church, just started growling, praise the Lord. Her husband didn't know what was going on. He thought, what is going on with this lady? And the door of the church had been slitting open. And so he thought, if I probably take her to the butchery, it's not going to help. If I take her to the bakery, it's not going to help. Take her to the hairdresser, it's not going to help. If I take her to the IGA supermarket, it's not going to help. You know, so he pushes her into the church to get her out of the, you know, growling and all that in public, you know, because he was trying to figure out what is going on with this lady. So they pushes her into the church, and I heard somebody walking, because we've got a little bell buzzer thing that goes ding dong when somebody walks in, and I knew somebody had just come in. So I got up in my office and I walked out, and she looked at me and she said, "You've got no authority over me. You have no authority in this region. This is our region. This is our place." And he started just growling and growling. I said, "Come out of her in the name of Jesus." She flipped over and started growling and rolling on the floor, cast the demons out of her. She was totally free. And then I say to the husband, who was standing there like a deer in headlights, just not sure what's happening. And I said, "What's happened to your wife is that she's just gone delivered from evil spirits, and Jesus wants to save your soul." And I gave him the gospel, and he started weeping, and I led him and his wife to the Lord just right there. But she gave her life to Jesus. They both got saved, and they went on their merry way shopping. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what revival is, when it begins to leak out of the building. Amen. When it starts to leak out of the house, it starts to leak out of the building. And that's what the move of the Lord is. And so we began to see God moving like that. Supernaturally, the Lord began to move in that sort of sense. We started seeing people coming in. One gentleman was going to kill himself. He'd just been released from prison. Been in prison for 8-9 years. And they released him from prison, and he took a bus, and he sat, he got off the bus just outside this shopping center, and a voice spoke to him and told him, "Go to that church." He didn't even know there was a church there. And so he walked in, and he started walking, and he came into the church, and as soon as he walked in the church, he fell out on his face and he repented, and he just had a conversion before anybody ever preached to him or told him about Jesus, because of the glory and the power of God that was falling in that place. Amen. After that Sunday, the meeting started going for 6 hours on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. People started ringing from Perth. People are ringing from Sydney. They said, "We heard about what God is doing up there in Toowoomba in the church. Can we come? I'm just a pastor who's worn out, and I feel like quitting and leaving the ministry. I just want to come. Can I fly up to Toowoomba and sit on the carpet? I just want God to touch me again, because I've lost my vision. I've lost my strength. And if this doesn't work out, I'm just going to leave my wife and leave the ministry, and I've just had it with life." And so pastors were coming in. People are booking motels to come to Toowoomba to just come and lay on the floor, lay on the carpet. The meetings were starting at 6 o'clock in the evening, and we had people showing up at 10 o'clock. There were people, bodies just all over, people in the sanctuary just lay out under the power of the Holy Spirit the whole day. And we started seeing God moving supernaturally, and I said, "God, we have got to see this in Australia. We've got to see this in New Zealand." And the Spirit of God, the meetings went for over 100 days, and still to this day, that somebody said to me, "How is it that you went from, you know, 15 people to over 350 in 2 years, and there's churches in the city, we've been going for 12 years and they still have 70, 80 members." I said, "I don't know. I have no formula that I can give you, but I'll tell you one thing. I got out of the way because I realized unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it." Amen. And so I got out of the way and I allowed the Lord to build his house, because it is never my house. It's not my church. It's his church. Amen. Hallelujah. It's his church. And so we need to understand that we, as the people of God, that we've just got to learn to cooperate with him and say, "God, what you're doing in other places, what you're doing in all these places, we want to see you moving supernaturally in our house and in our church." So we're going to pray this afternoon. We're going to believe God for an outpouring of the Spirit of God. I know there are people here from all over New Zealand. You've come in from the South Island, from the North.
North Island, and I'm believing that you as delegates in this place for the next few days, the Spirit of God will come upon you, the Spirit of revival, that when you go back to the towns and the homes and the chapters that you came from, that you will take a new fire and a new grace and a new glory in those places, and that you shall begin to see multiplied results, just as Graham was speaking today about growing. This growth that we're seeing coming is not going to be by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I came to a realization, it's not my church. The Bible says to us, remember when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Some say you're this, some say you're that, some say, but who do you say that I am? And he said, and Peter said, you're Jesus, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, good on you, Peter, son of Jonas. He said to him that flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And on this rock, I. That's the Lord. He said, I will build my church. So whose responsibility is this to build the church? His. We are always trying to build. How can we build a bigger church? How can we build this? How can we build it? The thing is, get out of the way. That's the secret. Get out of the way. Because it's not what we can build. We have to get out of the way. Because he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail. Do you know what that means? The gates of hell will not prevail. That means that whatever comes out of the gates of hell from hell against the church of Jesus Christ has no power to defeat the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Instead of mentioning and naming every demon, devil, and imp in hell, he just said, I will just mention the gates of hell. If hell's got it, you've got authority over it. Amen. If they can come out of that gate of hell to come and attack the church, you've got authority. The gates of hell will not prevail. And the only church that the gates of hell cannot prevail is a church that's been built by the Lord himself. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. They labor in vain. How do we increase in number? Get out of the way. Amen. Get out of the way. The Bible says, lift up your hands, ye gates, and let the King of glory come in. The Bible says we are access point. Our job is to open the gate and allow him to come in and do what he wants to do. Get out of the way. The book of Acts tells us exactly how churches grow and multiply. It says, and the Lord worked with them and increased them and multiplied such as would be saved. The Lord did. And the Lord added unto them such as should be saved. It wasn't their effort. It wasn't their ability. They did what needed to be done. But if what we do is enough, we should see people saved every single day. But it's more than just what going and doing the works. You've got to get out of the way and allow God to do what only God can do. Amen. Amen. Because if we build it, then it will fall. But if he builds it, even the gates of hell will not prevail. Hallelujah. So I want us to stand up on our feet. We're going to pray right now. And we're going to believe God right now in Jesus' name for New Zealand, for God to pour his Spirit over this city and over this nation. Hallelujah. And I want us, I've just shared briefly, and I'll be sharing some more as the convention goes, because there's so much that the Lord has done since I've been here and since I've seen you, and I think you need two conventions to just get it all. But that's, I just had to pause there with some of the things that God's been doing, and we'll pick up from there when the Lord permits it, maybe in the next meetings or so. But I want us to pray right now for just the Lord to pour his Spirit over New Zealand. Lord, we just want to pray right now. I want you to pray for wherever you've come from. If you've come from Wellington, pray for Wellington. If you've come from Napier, pray for Napier. If you've come from Auckland, pray for Auckland. If you've come from Hamilton, pray for that place in Jesus' name. Invercargill, pray for it. Bourke Luther, wherever you may have come from, Christchurch, right now, begin to pray that God will give us an open heaven over these areas and over these regions, that that by his spirit he will blow once again over the nation of New Zealand, just like he did with the quail. Lord, there are people who are out there who are not born again. There are people who are out there who are not saved. And Lord, we realize if our programs were able to work, we would have gotten them all saved. But right now we are praying, God, that the only way we can capture this quail is if you blow from heaven and you blow the wind of the Spirit, just like you did with the disciples. And the Bible says you blew upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. We pray that you will blow upon us once again, Holy Spirit. Blow upon us and fill us up with your anointing. Fill us up with your grace. Fill us up with your power. Fill us up with your grace in Jesus' name. Father, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by your Spirit, oh God. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you may anoint the works of our hands, that you may anoint what we're doing, that Lord, you may anoint the outreaches and the ministries. And we pray, Father God, that you may give us your ideas. We're not praying for good ideas, we're praying for God ideas, because good ideas may work sometimes, but God ideas always work and always prevail. So Father God, we lay down our good ideas and we pray for God ideas in the name of Jesus. Even for Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship New Zealand, we pray for God ideas in the name of Jesus. We ask you to breathe upon us, Almighty God. Breathe upon us. And Lord Jesus, we are like the men in the wedding of Cana. Lord, we are waiting for you to speak to us. We are like the ones in the wedding of Cana. Even as they said, and as Mary said to them, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Because whenever we follow your instructions, we will always see results. So Father, we pray for divine ideas. We pray for God ideas right now. What has killed us and killed our churches and our ministries and our fellowships has been good ideas. And so, Father, we pray right now for God ideas, because I know if you give us a God idea, we will always see fruit. We will always see increase. We will always see the blessing of the Lord. We will always see you pouring things out. So, Father, release divine ideas right now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, right now by your Spirit, even as this meeting continues, we thank you that your glory right now is falling upon these people right now, that Lord, even as this convention progresses, that your anointing will rest upon us, that we'll be able to leave this place, oh God, on Monday with the fire of God to see the nations change, to see the nations transformed for your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, there are people here this afternoon whose fuel gauge is on empty. There are people here whose fuel gauge is on half full. I pray that you will fill them up in the name of Jesus. 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 I thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're releasing right now. Thank you, Lord, for what you're pouring out. Thank you, Lord, for what you're pouring out. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor, Lord. There is none like you, Jesus. There is none like you, Jesus. There is none like you, Jesus. Can we have Jeff, could you just come and just strum up behind us? It would be great. Just some guitar, some music, some background music. Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. I want us to sing that song, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, worship your holy name. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. Worship your holy name. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Lord Jesus. I want you to lift up your hands right now. We bless your name, oh God. We bless your name, oh God. We're going to pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I know we don't have much space in this place, but I'm going to pray and ask the Lord's power to come upon you as it did in the upper room in the mighty name of Jesus, that the Lord's power will fall upon his people even right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, begin to move in this place right now and touch your people right now. Touch them in the name of Jesus. Let your grace begin to flow right now. Let your grace begin to flow right now. Let your grace begin to flow right now. Let your anointing begin to fall upon us in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I release the anointing right now. I release the anointing right now. I release the anointing right now. Andy Peters, right at the back, lift up your hands. Receive right now. Somebody stand behind him. Somebody stand behind Ernie there. I hope you got a seat behind you. Father, I release the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon Ernie right now. In Jesus' name, for Kaikoura, in the name of Jesus, that the power of God rests upon you. Let it fall upon you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Alvin, I want you to go over there. Just come right over there. Right over there. Somebody just get behind him. Just get behind him. Just lift up your hand, Alvin. Take a deep breath. I release that anointing upon you, Alvin, because God's taking you to another level. Another level in God. Another level in God. Take it now in Jesus' mighty name. Take it in the name of Jesus. You will never be the same again because you're the next generation. The next generation. You're the first fruit of the next generation that is coming into full gospel businessmen's fellowship. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're releasing right now. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Jason, I want you to come. Just come over there if you can. Just come over this side, Jason. We're going to pray for you. Oh, we bless the Lord. We're going to get it for healing. Oh, shalaba sete kesete. Touch Robin right now from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your anointing just flows through his body. I thank you, the anointing flows through his body right now. Touch his brain, touch his body right now. Let him be made whole, be made whole, be made whole, be made whole. By the power of the Holy Ghost, by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the power of the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, right now, be free, strength come. In Jesus' mighty name. Receive it, Jason. Receive it, Jason. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Paul, take a few steps closer. Just lift up your hands. Somebody stand behind Paul. Lift up your hands. Fill him, Lord. Fill him, Lord. Fill him, Lord. That's all right. You can just lay him on the floor because the Lord's doing something with them. Just gently, gently, gently. Come on, my brother, up here. Just come, come. Oh, bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. I want somebody behind him. As soon as he gets up here, somebody get behind him. Fire right now. Touch him, Lord. Touch Owen from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. I see you ministering in churches. I see you speaking. The power of God is falling upon you in the name of Jesus. Even those who never valued what you carried, Lord is turning that around right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, receive it. Receive it right now. A fresh breath, a fresh anointing upon you, Owen. A fresh anointing, a fresh anointing, a fresh anointing, a fresh anointing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, can I have my Asian brother right here? Come up here, brother. Let me pray for you. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. If you can stand here, just make sure projector's not behind you. Father God, touch Augustine right now. Let the fire of God rest upon him. Use it mightily, oh God. Use it mightily, oh God. The power of God is on you. Justin, the power of God is on you. Shala baba ba sandele de dio sade ke baba baba. Me branda de besikla brando. I release right now. May the Spirit of the Living God, Spirit of the Living God, begin to fall upon you. Fall upon you. Give me your hand. In the name of Jesus, take it right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want everybody in this section here, just lift up your hands. I'm just going to pray for the Lord to touch you right now. Father God, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to just flow from the front of this building to the very back of this building. And I thank you, Lord, for Lawrence. Come up here, Lawrence. Somebody stand behind Lawrence right now. Touch in Jesus' mighty name. The glory of God rests upon you. Use Lawrence, Lord. Use him powerfully. Use him powerfully. And touch his back and his lower back area. Jesus' name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit is falling upon you right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, I pray for these your people right now. And I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to rest upon them. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost rest upon them. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost rest upon them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Are you ready for what God wants to release? In Jesus' name. Receive right now. Power of the Holy Ghost. 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 In the name of Jesus. 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 The power of the Holy Ghost right now throughout each and every single one here. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit fall upon them. Use them mightily, O Jesus. Use them mightily, O God. By your grace. By your grace. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Noel, I want you to come up here. Noel, Father God, just touch his heart right now. Oh, shalababababalaba. Lord, I thank you right now that you're just 100%. There's an alignment coming with the whole body. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for Noel. Because what the enemy has tried to do to hold you back and stop you and slow you down, I thank God that's going to be a recompense. If the thief be caught, he will pay back 7 times. So Noel, take it in Jesus' name. Receive right now. Receive right now the recompense for everything the enemy's trying to steal from you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I release a newness of life, newness of life, newness of life, newness of life, strength, newness of life. I break fatigue out of your body in Jesus' name. Weakness broken in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for newness of life right now. In Jesus' mighty name. 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 Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Thank you, Lord, this afternoon for what you're doing in this place. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for the sick that are here. If you're sick in your body, I want you to just put your hand where you're sick. And we're going to be praying for different ones during the during the weekend, and Bill will be praying tonight. I can't wait for tonight. It's going to be an awesome time tonight in the presence of God. And hallelujah, hallelujah. What an awesome privilege it's going to be. So, Father God, we just pray right now for your healing virtue to be strong, 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 strong in the mighty name of Jesus over this place and even right now. Father, we've seen miracles happen throughout this week. Tremendous miracles have happened during this week. And Father, we pray right now that sicknesses will leave people's bodies. I command right now that knees will be healed. I thank you, Lord. Necks will be healed. Shoulders will be healed in Jesus' name. I thank you. Deafness leaves right now by the power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I rebuke sickness and disease. I command issues with people's bodies and deficiencies and congenital issues right now. Cancers, I rebuke them in the name of Jesus right now. Father, I rebuke all kinds of conditions and sleep apnea and sleeping disorders and insomnia and all kinds of conditions right now. We break those in Jesus' name. We come against every mental condition out there in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray, let the power of God flow through the people of God right now and be made whole right now. Be made whole right now. Be made whole right now in Jesus' name. We command deaf ears open now in Jesus' mighty name. We command lower backs be healed right now in the name of Jesus. We command right now pain in people's bodies to leave their bodies in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing right now. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. I want you to begin to test yourself out. Check yourself out. If you had issues, you have pain somewhere in your body, begin to check yourself right now. Check yourself. Check yourself. Check yourself. Check yourself. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Now, who here, something's happened? You had pain in your body and the pain's gone. You had something's wrong with you somewhere and that pain is gone. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. All those, you had issues, something was wrong with you. I want to come up here. We're going to take a few testimonies. Come here, Arnie. How's your knee? It's perfect. I saw you put your hand on your knee. Come up here. Tell us what's happened to your knee.
I'll be honest with you guys. I was sitting here the whole time with a knee. I couldn't even walk. And as soon as Pastor says, touch your knee, and I knew my healing is going to come. And look at this. Look at us. Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, how long have you had that? How long have you had that?
The last week or so.
The last week. You're from South Africa. I love your accent. That's awesome. Amen. Amen. And it's gone just like that. Praise God. Who else? Come here, Wayne. You had your hand up. What happened?
I've got problems with my lower back because I've had hip operations, and it's been sore for the last week or so, but just suddenly all just disappeared.
Come on, somebody. Give God praise for that. Amen. Just suddenly all just disappear right now. Amen. I saw Ernie back there. Ernie, come up here. Ernie, what happened? I saw your hand up. Who else? Who else? Something's definitely happened to you. Well, we're just praying right now. Yeah? Come, Robin, while Ernie's making his way up here.
These guys prayed me last night for the lower back, and I would say about two-thirds of it went last night, and the last third went when brother here called out for the lower back. So, praise God. Don't know about the Parkinson's. I don't believe in it anyway, because my body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that's the end of the God. Somebody said God said it, we believe it, that settles it. But somebody else said God said it, that settles it, and we better believe it.
Yeah. Come on, let's stretch out our hands. We're going to believe these Parkinson's to be healed in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. I believe there's enough anointing and power in this place, this gentleman to be healed from this. So in the mighty name of Jesus, we command Parkinson's, go out of him, loose him now, go, be healed from this, in Jesus' name, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, let the power of the Holy Ghost go through your body right now, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, we command the shaking and the trembling, go loose. Jesus' mighty name. Release. Yes, release Lord. Right now. Release right
yes,
now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just take a deep breath. Take a deep breath.
Oh!
Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, the Lord still has need of you. There's so much work for you to do. The nations are waiting. The nations are waiting. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're releasing right now. The power of the Holy Ghost begin to bring him to complete total healing in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord.
But you're going to produce much, much more fruit in the future. Now is the time when you have matured in my kingdom and you are going to produce much fruit over the next few years. He's saying that you're going to touch many souls. Many people will come to know Jesus through your ministry. He said, I will give you good health. I will give you strength. He said, you may not always feel the strength in yourself, but he said, you will never fail me, for I will give you the strength you need to do the task that I've called you to do, and you will produce much, much fruit.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We're believing God. Glory! Hallelujah, hallelujah. What's happened to you, Richard? Yeah, what's happened?
Able to bend it for the last few years, and now I've got it back again. So thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. How long have you had that problem with your knee? I've said, how many years, Richard? 2 years. About 2 years you've had that. 3 or 4 years. And just now you've started bending his knees, and it's all good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Annie, what happened?
For the last 2 months, I've had very painful shoulders.
He's lifted his hands up. It's all healed up. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. Any more healings that just taking place when we prayed there just a while back? Praise the Lord. I was in Africa. We had 4,500 people that turned up and prayed for the sick to be healed. You should have seen the line that went all the way to the door. There's amazing, amazing things that happened there. And I say to the Lord, you know, last time when I came through New Zealand, you know, I would line people up and I would lay hands on them and pray for them. And I realized you get worn out when the crowds start getting bigger, you start getting worn out. So I've made a deal with the Lord, especially when I went to Africa and we did this crusade and about 2,000 people in this church. It's about 5,500 seat church and about 4,500 people turned up. And 2,000, at least 2,000 of them were sick for something. And they all came out for prayer. And I thought, dear Lord, I got to change my methods or I'm not going to be here for long because you're going to wear yourself out. So I said, Lord, I'm just going to pray by faith and believe you to heal them. And God just began to do it. People started getting healed, and I realized I think I like this method. It's called wholesale. Amen. No more retail. Wholesale healing. So praise God for that. Amen. So hey, we'll get Graham up here. I don't know if anybody else. Anybody else got a testimony? Anybody else? God's touched you? Got a testimony? Amen. We're just starting.
Well, guys, thank you, Jimmy. Let's give Jimmy a hand.